was like, why can't I ask for help? Like, this is absurd, Mooney. It wasn't that I didn't want to get help. It was that I didn't want the person that I was going to ask help from to think less of me. Like, if you ask God to move and you're not moving, like,
it's a two-way street.
Yeah, exactly.
You want him to do his part, you got to do
exactly.
yours.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly, yeah.
What is happening, ladies and gents, and welcome to another episode of Talk To Me. You know it. It's the show where I get my friends to talk to me. Now, if you watched our last episode of Talk To Me, you would have seen our epic episode, and we had our epic crew here. We talked about everything Epic Camp. And the funny thing is, at Epic Camp, one of our leaders in particular got a little bit crazy. She took a microphone, she took a camera, she went around the camp, she basically lost her mind. And in those moments said, Ray, I'm happy to jump on the podcast anytime you want me to. So Larissa is regretting it right now. Larissa, thank you so much for jumping on.
Thanks for having me, Ray. I don't know what came over me when I said I would do your podcast.
You were on another level.
It was 3 a.m.
It was.
So I really don't think it counts, but it's good to be here, I guess.
Well, thanks for coming. Well, you know me, I take advantage as much as I can. So if someone does say something, I hold on to that tight.
Fair enough.
And don't let go. Larissa also did say that she wants to start her own podcast. But that's news for another day. We might have some stuff in the works, so I will let you know. But before Larissa starts her own thing, it's important that she jumps onto this, gets her reps in, eh?
I mean, got to try it before I jump into something. This could be a big fail. It happened,
so. Listen, we've been failing for 2 years straight and it seems to be going okay.
Fair enough.
So, Lolly, thank you for jumping on. I really do appreciate it. And ladies and gents, thank you for jumping on and watching this episode. If you get the chance, please click the subscribe button. Shoot us a like on this video, because if you do, then YouTube's very nice to us. If you don't like seeing my lovely face, then you can go to Spotify and you can listen to the whole episode there, or all your podcast areas, things. Yeah. So, Lolly, you have a story to tell, even though you don't think you do. Okay.
That's very true. I did. My main argument for never coming on the podcast is that I've got nothing to say.
Okay. Do you think you have anything to say right now before I start with my questions?
I mean, maybe, but I feel like it's, like, not okay. Great.
Because here's my thing, right? You are you're a daughter of a pastor.
Yep.
You're a sister of a youth leader.
Yep.
And a sister of a music leader.
Yep.
So you sort of get lost in the background there, right? But, and I think that can be sort of a hard place to be. Do you find that to be a hard place to be, sort of sitting in that area of your family?
I mean, I haven't really thought about it that way. I think in a lot of ways I'm very privileged to serve with my family in that sense. Mm-hmm. You know, being in Epic with Jeremy and then, you know, choir with Ryan, it's kind of awesome to see my brother's lead in that way. And then also, you know, Dad's a pastor, so that's just another area. But yeah, being in that sense of serving with my family is kind of cool, I think, but it can get a bit, interesting sometimes.
So how do you find your own space in it? Because your ministries like coincide with theirs, like you're in music, in youth. How do you find your space?
I don't know really. I kind of just, I just enjoyed doing what I have to do, I guess. And I'm not much of one that wants to, I guess, lead in that way. Mm-hmm. I'm more happy to just follow directions and do that sort of thing.
Was it
does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. But was it hard to take, like, instructions from your brothers and, like, go under their lead? Because, mate, that's difficult no matter who you are. Like, I know Joseph hates it, even though he might say he doesn't. How are we doing, Joe? Oh, you forgot to plug in the mic. Okay. How you doing? Give me a thumbs up, buddy. There we go. So that's a force thumbs up there.
Yeah, yeah.
I know he hates being under me sometimes, but how about you? Is it difficult?
I mean, I guess sometimes it would be, especially like I'm pretty hard-headed. I think that I'm better than my brothers sometimes, but at the end of the day, like I'm not the one running the ministry. It's them, so.
So how'd you find your place in ministry then? Like, let's go back to that. How'd you find your place? Okay, first off, your dad becomes pastor.
Yeah.
What's that like for you? How's that? Is that a shock to the system? Is that struggle street?
I mean, it was obviously a while ago now, but growing up, we'd always been pretty heavily involved in ministry. You know, dad was always involved. He was, you know, preaching regularly. He was doing, I don't know what he did. He did
everything,
like the accounts. I don't know what he did.
He did Eastgate. He was our treasurer
He was the treasurer. So he was always pretty involved in the church. And then, you know, when he became pastor, it was sort of just like another step into that. So I was already pretty well into like a ministry family. Yep. Obviously, you know, there's some added pressures with being the pastor's kid compared to just, you know, another ministry's leader's child. But I feel like it was pretty normal for me, I guess. Like, I was older at the time anyway. I kind of understood what was happening in the church. I understood the role that needed to be filled and that, you know, God had placed him to be the one that was going to fill it. So it was kind of okay.
Was that pressure big? Was it a struggle to get used to, or did you just find your way pretty naturally?
A bit of both, I'd say. I think at different points in my life, I've felt it more than other points. And in different areas of my life, I'll feel it more than other areas. It just really depends on the season, I guess.
Yeah. Did you feel like that pressure was being put on you by people around the church? Or was it just a joke?
I think, again, both.
Okay.
And a lot of people still joke about it and they still, you know, give you a hard time about that sort of area. But then, like, there was also some real pressures coming from real people who, were doing that.
So how do you deal with that pressure then? Like, what do you say in your mind to say, listen, I'm going to differentiate everything. I'm going to listen to this advice and I'm just going to ignore that pressure there.
I think a lot of it, like, I just, you know, I talked to my brothers. They were in the same position. We could vent to each other and, you know, have our little like frustrations, I guess.
Hey, listen, I think venting is the most important thing in the industry. You have to have your vent partner that you can just go at it.
You know, I'd talk to dad about it. He'd always ask, you know, how is this affecting you? But I feel like it was honestly fine.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel I'm pretty easygoing in that sense. Like, I'll just, like, it is what it is.
Take it as it comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Listen, it's a good point because I know a lot of people do struggle with that. Like, your dad's been, especially if it's inside the church, like, dad was just a member for all those years and then he becomes the pastor.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, what do we do in that sense?
Mm.
Or are all the eyes now on us? Can I make a mistake? Can I do something dumb? Can I, you know, jump off a cliff without someone saying, oh, you're going to influence my kid to do the same thing?
I think also a big part, like, one of my biggest worries when dad became pastor was my friends. I thought I was going to lose all my friends because no one wants to be friends with the pastor's kid. I mean, like, that's, you know, no one wants to do that. But my friends were really encouraging throughout the whole thing and they stuck by me. So I didn't have anything to worry about in the end.
So your friends were pretty cool with it?
Yeah, my friends, like, they still will, you know, give me a little bit of this and that.
Yeah. But
it is like, it's just a joke.
If anything, I know your friends, they're trying to, you know, make some money off it or something like that.
Yeah, probably.
So how do you become a Christian? Let's take it back all the way there. Because you grew up in the church.
A long story.
Let's go for it. We got some time.
All right. Grew up in the church. Grew up in Sunday school every week. Grew up in Bible club Friday nights. Heard all the stories. Heard the gospel many, many times. I would say I got saved when I was a young child. I have a vague memory of, you know, being scared of going to hell and then going to my mom and asking her, you know, how do I not go to hell, and praying with her.
What age are we talking here? Approximately.
Maybe 5.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 or 6. But honestly, I don't remember that very well. I feel like it's more of a memory I've sort of built up in my head, sure. If that makes sense. Yeah. But I think it did happen. You know, we can talk to my mom. She'll say that it did happen. But yeah, just grew up in church throughout the years, I guess. Just begun serving, still, you know, going every week. Had a bit of, I won't say a bit, had a lot of doubts growing up.
Okay.
I was a very scared child. But I feel like I didn't show it. Maybe I did. It was more like at night I would just like be so scared every single night that I was going to die and go to hell.
And so I what, was, going to bed was a freak out?
Yeah, I just hated going to sleep just because I thought I would die.
Yeah.
And I also had very, very weird dreams as a child where like things would happen, people would die. And
okay.
We won't get into that. If you know, you know. My dreams were no good as a child. So
I don't
that
know if we want to get into that. Yeah, that might be a completely different podcast.
That's a different thing. But yeah, I grew up, you know, doubting my salvation, I guess. And then, you know, fast forward, I was in Epic, in Epic Camps. Went to Epic Camps and heard the gospel many times. And I remember still being so scared, but not wanting to get help. I said this at Epic Camp in my testimony. It wasn't that I didn't want to get help. It was that I didn't want the person that I was going to ask help from to think less of me, or to think that, oh, like this is like the past, not. I don't think it was a pastor at the time, but like this is Mansour's child, yeah. You know, like she's been in church her whole life. How can she not be saved? You know, I had this maybe pride, uh-huh. I guess, in that sense.
How old are you at this point?
Oh, 14.
Okay.
Yeah, 13, 14.
That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself as a 14.
I don't know. I just felt like I had to be the perfect Christian child, you know. Yeah. So I never let anyone know that was what was going on inside. And then I keep on doing that a lot,
yeah,
don't I?
Know. Yeah,
sorry,
it's fine.
Stop that.
That's fine. It's a nervous thing. It's a
it
nervous
is.
Thing.
I'm getting
it's fine.
Nervous.
There's nothing to be nervous about, Larissa. We're
I know,
hanging
I
out.
Know, I don't
There's
know.
Just a couple of lights.
It's fine. I just get nervous. Anyway, I just went to do it again and tried to hold back.
Yeah, well
it didn't
done.
Work.
Well done.
Where was I?
Epic. So you didn't want to talk to anyone because.
Yes.
There's that perception of I have to be the perfect child.
Yeah. Fast forward to Epic Camp 2016. I don't remember the message. I don't remember much about it. I remember that God had moved in a lot of people that night. I remember that, you know, there was quite a big sort of moment. I would say similar to what we had at camp.
Yep.
Maybe not the same. But I remember there was an altar call and I didn't put my hand up.
Okay.
And everyone, you know, a few people had gotten saved. We were celebrating. And in my mind that whole time, I was still battling this. I need to ask for help, but I don't want to.
Okay. So your head's bowed. Everyone's putting their hands up.
Everything's finished.
Okay.
Service is finished. I didn't do anything about it.
So take me back to when you're in that seat though. Everyone is getting up, they're going to the altar, but you're still sitting there fighting with yourself. What's going through your head there?
Just that I don't know.
Was that an argument? Was it a fight?
It was more just a, I need, like, I don't know, I want to know, but why aren't I getting up?
Wow, okay.
And then it just, you know, it had ended, and then it was quite a few minutes later, I just walked outside, and I kind of just sat by myself and cried. And I was like, why can't I ask for help? Like, this is absurd. You know, how is my pride so great that it's affecting, you know, my eternity? Like, it doesn't make sense, you know. And then someone found me, one of the leaders, and I kind of just let it all out. I let it rip.
What did she say?
She I think she just said, are you okay? I don't even remember.
It.
Honestly, I don't remember. And I was like, no.
Wow.
I don't think I'm saved, you know. And then we prayed, and I guess that's it.
That was it. So
yeah.
It just took someone coming up to you and saying, "What's going on?"
Yeah, I think okay? I just reached the end, like the end. I just couldn't keep it in anymore. It just had to come out, I guess.
So, you being a young child, you're full of fear. You're scared to go on the bed. You're scared of hell. You're scared of dying. All that. But then that fear eventuates into a fear of letting other people in to help you with that issue. Does that fear dissipate after you get saved, or is that something that's still around?
Still around. Yeah, big time. That's, yeah.
So what's it take for someone to get in there?
A lot. I would argue that not many people have.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my dad would say he still hasn't, but I'd probably say he's the one person that has. But, you know, even today I still struggle with that, you know, big fear of what will they think of me.
Really?
Yeah.
That is a lot of pressure to put on yourself, bud.
I guess.
Yeah, okay. So, but I'm going to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, it takes a person that has a close relationship with you, someone that knows you basically inside and out, to be able to get in there and have a chat about the things you're struggling with.
Yeah. I think my mind is a bit whacked, but I mean, whose isn't? Right?
Hey, like we always like to say, everyone's fried. You're just going to figure out which way they are fried.
Everyone's fried.
Okay, so what would you say to someone that is having that same struggle, that struggles to let people in, but it's debilitating them like it did for you?
I'd probably say that they're not going to react the way that you think they are.
Okay.
I thought that people would think that, you know, I was the worst Christian ever, that, you know, who is this child, you know? Yeah. But I think in the end of the day, if someone really loves you and they want the best for you, they're just going to show you love, and they're going to show you Christ's love, and that's what you need. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely find someone who you trust, find someone who you love and who you know loves you in that way, and just ask for help. It's not worth all the pain and the heartache, I guess.
Because it is hard. I mean, I get it. There's people. I'm not that type of person. I pretty much let anyone in. Like, they knock on the door. Yeah, come on in. You want to know? Let's go. I'll tell you every story you want to know. But I do understand the apprehension, and I understand the hurt and the pain that some people can cause just by saying the wrong thing or giving the wrong look even. And I get that. So it is a difficult thing. But if you do find that one person that says, you know, I'm here for you, let me help you out, then it's like you said, it just takes away a lot of that pressure and builds it out. But you're also a nurse.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna switch it over because this is another part of your life that freaks me out. But before I get into the nursing thing, I found out you're a nurse that doesn't drink caffeine.
I am.
How is that possible?
Something wrong with me. I don't know.
Nothing. V, no Red Bull, no coffee.
I'll have an occasional V when I'm on night shift, but my mum despises me when I do. So it's never in our house. I have to go to the servo and get it for myself.
Yeah,
it's a bit weird. Even people at work think that there's something wrong with
me. I've never heard of a nurse not having caffeine. Is that a struggle to get through those night shifts?
No.
No?
I don't know. I just, like, I don't know. I just stay awake.
Okay.
I don't actually. That's a lie. I'm lying. It has been hard to stay awake on night shift, but I'll just go to sleep. I don't
Let's hope Larissa's employer's not hearing
I'm not in that ward anymore, so I feel like I can say it. But rehab ward was pretty chill. I could just close my eyes for a few.
Okay. Well, Lolly, just so that you don't get fired, I'm going to give you some help.
Thanks.
Okay? Because this stuff, Magic Mind, has sort of changed my life a little bit. I'm the complete opposite of you. I'm 3 coffees a day. Okay, I'm a Prime, a Red Bull, a V. Like, it's part of my just diet, and it's horrendous. But ladies and gents, Magic Mind is here to help you out, especially if you're like Larissa and you're a nurse and you're dealing with those night shifts. Lolly, this boosts energy and focus. It's a productivity elixir, as they like to call it. So they're very fancy. And they have all the nootropics, matcha, vitamins that you need to stay awake. So it's not a caffeine shot, but it is a health shot. And ladies and gents, Magic Mind is helping us out. They're helping you out. They're giving you a discount. All you have to type in is have a chat 20 and they'll give you a discount. Click our link below. Get your discount now because these guys have changed the game. And Lolly, they will change the game when it comes to those long night shifts that you're trying not to fall asleep in.
Honestly, I should give it a go. I said the last podcast that I would.
You did. You know what? I'm going to give you a couple to take home with you. Give it a shot and let me know.
Why not? I will.
Done. Okay, but you're a nurse.
I am.
Okay, we're going to get deep into this. Why?
That's such a great question, honestly. Why? I don't think I have an answer for it.
Okay, before that though, did you always know you were going to be a nurse?
No.
Okay. Can I tell you when I knew you were going to be a nurse?
Yes.
All right. I was in the hospital, had my car accident.
Okay.
You're in the States.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for you, you get a text message saying that Ray's been in the accident. We don't know what it's looking like. Everyone's gone to sleep because of the time difference. And you're sitting there with a text like, is this guy alive or not? Like, yeah. You didn't know. And then you called me. The next, I want to say 3-4 days later, yeah. After I was out of ICU, and you checked in on me, you were making sure I was all sweet and all that. And I remember hanging up the phone, first off saying, wow, that was a very great conversation. Like, that really helped me. I don't even remember what it was, but it helped. And thinking, okay, she's going to be a nurse one day.
I do not remember that. Okay. No offense.
Yeah. That's fun.
No recollection of that at all.
No issue.
Yeah.
I do remember you coming into the hospital room after you came back. You did it again.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
That's all right.
I do remember visiting you in hospital when we came back. I do remember that.
Okay. I might be mixing stories, but it was around the same thing.
Yeah.
So it could have been that day. It could have been a phone call. I don't know. But I just remember our conversation.
Yeah. I remember. I'm at that hospital now.
Yes, COGRA.
Fun fact. Yeah.
Greatest hospital on the planet, in my opinion. What a place. So that's when I knew. I was lying in that hospital bed. I was like, okay, she's going to be a nurse or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the question was, how did I know I was going to be a nurse, right?
Yeah.
I used to watch all these random shows with my mom, like 24 Hours in Emergency or RPA.
Yeah.
Or all the medical shows, whatever they were.
All the shows we used to watch back when TV was a thing.
Yeah. And I used to love them. I just didn't care. Give me the blood and gore. I loved it. Just a weirdo. Yep. So I always just was interested in that sort of field. And I always wanted to be a paramedic.
A paramedic?
That did not happen.
That is so much worse than a nurse.
Yeah. Okay. I guess. Yeah. Funnily enough, I got accepted to do paramedicine in uni. Before I went to Bible college.
Okay.
And I had to decline my offer because I had already said that I would go to Bible college. And then when I came back, I was applying for nursing and paramedicine and all that. Got into nursing, so I just did it. And here we are.
But why not? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand what it takes for you guys to say, we're going to do that. It's such a hard job.
It is. It's a very hard job. And honestly, there's not many perks to it.
Yeah.
I would say there's very few. But it interests me in a very weird way. Like, I don't know, nothing really tickles my brain compared to it. I mean, I worked at my dad's business for a while and I could not stand sitting at a desk.
That's like a comparison.
That was the worst thing to ever happen to me in my life was to sit at a desk for the rest of my life. I could not imagine. I just couldn't imagine it. So here we are.
So what is it about nursing? Is it seeing the look on the person's face after you've helped them out? Is it the injury itself or the issue itself?
Yeah, both. I mean, I want to see it all, I guess. Like, give me whatever it is and I want to just have a look at it, you know, try and help them.
That's sadistic, mate.
Is it? No, yeah.
No, I'm joking.
Like, it just, I don't know, it interests me. But yeah, also being there for someone in their worst moment probably of their life comes with, I don't know, just gives you a bit of purpose, I guess.
Yep. And
it makes you feel like you're doing something worthwhile.
Yeah. And it's so useful. I mean, you guys, I've seen you guys in action at church, like when things have gone wrong there and just the...
I mean, it's good life skills too.
I'll say this, you and the other ladies that the nurses there, like Mariana, Jane and all that, when I saw you guys in action, it was like, these are not the same people we know. Like, you guys are... This switch flicks and you guys go for it. It's awesome to see. It's really cool. So... Yeah. You said you went to Bible college.
I did.
Why? I'm full of whys today. I'm full of whys.
You should have prepared me for these whys. I feel like
I don't
have any good answers.
No, your answers are great.
Why?
Yeah, what's the purpose of going all the way over there? Because you went for a year, right?
I did. Both my brothers went.
Yep.
Well, Jeremy had gone. Ryan had just started when I went. But my dad and my mum always encouraged us to just give 1 year after school to the Lord and then see where you go from there. But I was super against it all throughout my senior years of high school. I was like, no, I'm just going to go to uni and do whatever I want. And then it was TNS 2018.
Yep.
Yeah, it would have been 2018. Yep. God spoke to me and, you know, he was like, why are you saying no to me? And I was like, well, okay.
That's pretty confronting
In more words than that.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. And then, you know, I thought about it, prayed about it, you know, and it just turned out 1 year. Really, in the end, 1 year is not going to attend, like, it's not going to affect my career path. It's not, people take gap years all the time at the end of the day. So I said, all right, 1 year, I'll go and give it a crack. And I did. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot. I grew a lot.
What did it do for you?
I think,
as a person and as a Christian, like, what did it do for those two areas?
As a person, I think being away from home grew me up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it grew me up very much. but more responsibilities, just having to figure out life in a different country was kind of confronting. But then, you know, I also grew spiritually through the classes I took, through the chapels that I attended at the college. It was, all around, it was a good experience. I do joke about it being the worst year of my life. But that's just because I was terribly homesick, which is funny because you wouldn't think I'd get homesick.
Yeah, is that struggle street or what? Like, staying away
from I hated it. I think just being away from everyone I knew was no fun.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to, like, hang out with my friends.
I don't know how Americans do it because their culture is, like, just travel everywhere, just move out,
It's like, high school's done, you're out of here. No, thanks.
I'm definitely a home guy.
So, being away from family and friends was probably the hardest thing, but we got through.
What was the one thing you took away from that experience?
I don't know.
Did it change? Because for me, Bible college completely changed me as a person. Like, it's made me more disciplined. It's made me learn how to study. I never studied in high school, so I learned how to study going to Bible college. So is there anything that it drove out of you that you're like, I needed college to get that?
I think it made my relationship with God more real.
Okay.
I think, you know, when you're away and sort of God was the only thing that I had, I mean, obviously I had friends there, but there were moments when I was just, I felt so alone and literally the only person I would talk to was God. Like, I sat in the stairwell and I was like, hello, help, you know, sort of thing. I think it just, you know, made my relationship with God feel more like a relationship rather than just a
thing you grew up with.
A thing I grew up with.
And I think a lot of Christians, especially growing up in church, do have that. They have that issue of, this is just a thing that is part of my life. It's not really real. And I think everyone needs that moment where it becomes real.
Yeah.
How would you help someone, how would you help someone looking for that moment or looking to see whether or not God's real for them?
I think the greatest thing you can do is just ask God to show you, and he will, but also you have to be intentional about it. Like, you can't just be like, God, show me you're real, and then do nothing about it. Like, you have to be the one searching. You have to be the one, you know, actually doing something that will sort of show you him. Does that make sense? Like, if you ask God to move and you're not moving, like,
it's a two-way street.
Yeah, exactly.
You want him to do his part, you got to do yours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's just staying in the Christian faith, staying in the Christian life, moving forward, doing your ministries, reading your Bible, praying, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Lolly, this has been fun. This has been great. It's flown by. But before I do let you run away from this and never put the headphones back on, I want to ask you, if you had to go back, let's say 5 years, so you would put you in a time machine, shoot you back 5 years, and you got one piece of advice to ask Larissa, what are you telling her?
What am I telling 18-year-old Larissa?
Yeah.
Hang in there. I'd say just keep searching.
Okay. You
know, keep I'd say keep growing. I'd say talk to people when you need help. Yeah.
That's it.
Simple. I think so.
Hey, it's simple, it's straightforward. Ladies and gents, start searching, keep growing. I mean, that's probably the piece of advice that I'd give an 18-year-old me as well, yeah, is keep learning, keep growing, because at 18 you really think you know everything.
Yeah, you don't.
And you know nothing.
I know nothing still.
Mate,
so.
I've done years of college, and like what it's shown me is there's so much more I don't know than what I do know.
Yeah.
And that's life. Lolly, thank you so much for jumping on.
No worries.
I'm very excited for the future of your podcasting endeavors.
We still don't know that that's going to happen.
I'm just saying, ladies and gents, keep your eye out on Have a Chat Productions, because we've got some exciting things coming up. Larissa and Gemma have a few ideas they're going to shoot out there, so I'm excited for you guys to see it. Otherwise, ladies and gents, make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video, share it around, shoot it on Instagram, Facebook. Make sure you follow Larissa on Instagram and Facebook and wherever else she is. Her details have popped up on the screen. Lolly, thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
You couldn't have made that more awkward.
I have to be awkward at some point.